Today we're speaking about the Nazir. Saint or sinner? Is the Nazir a holy sinner, or is he a sinner at all? The Torah seems to contradict herself. One place that the Torah calls the Nazir Kadosh, that he's holy. Another place the Torah calls the Nazir Chote, which means a holy sinner. So which one is it? Before we get to that, the Parsha's Nosoi begins. It's the longest Parsha in the Torah, 176 verses. And by the way, the longest chapter in Tillim, Psalm 119, also has 176 verses. And the largest tractate, there's 60, what? Very good. There's 63 tractates in Shas. The longest one, Bava Basra, has how many pages? Also 176. In Parshas Nosoi, it says, Nosoi, what does Nosoi mean? To lift up, to elevate. Nosoi is Rosh B'nei Gershom Gamheim. Elevate the B'nei Gershom, they too. What do you mean they too elevate? What do you mean to elevate them too? Different Levites had different jobs. Some Levites got to carry the holy ark. Some Levites got to carry the holy table. And others got to carry the holy menorah. The Gershonites, they were the balagola. How do they say balagola in English? The balagola, the schleppers, the wagon drivers, they carried the heavy beams of the Mishkan. So the Torah says, Nosoi es rosh b'nei Gershon gamheim. Give them covered as well, even though they're just balagola. They don't get to carry the holy ark. They don't get to carry the holy menorah. They are the wagon drivers. Remember, wagon train. They got to carry the supplies, the heavy beams. So people have a tendency to dismiss a schlepper. The Torah says no. Noso es rosh b'nei Gershom gamheim. They too deserve to be what? Elevated, lifted up, given kavod. Because God doesn't judge us by our profession. God judges what kind of people we are. A lowly wagon driver can be more precious to God than what? Than the guy who carries the holy ark. It depends what kind of person you are. That's one of the messages of this parsha. To give kavod and chashivu to each and every Jew, no matter what his profession is. There's a famous story of the Baal Shem Tov and his balagola. Baal Shem Tov had a balagola. Baal Shem Tov had many trips. He had a steady balagola. And the balagola was an ignorant person, never got any, can't get no respect. Remember in Rodney Dangerfield? I cannot get no respect. So the balagola was frustrated. The great Baal Shem Tov, wherever he took the Baal Shem Tov, crowds came out adoring him, praising him, and he was ignored. One time he decided, you hear this, Rabbi Yaakov, one time they're going to a town where the Baal Shem Tov was scheduled to speak there. And in those days they had no pictures. No one knew what the Baal Shem Tov looked like. Right? Reputation. So the balagola said, you know what? Rebbe, do me a favor. You love all... I'm your trusted balagola for years. And you love me. I never get no respect. I'm like Rodney Dangerfield. I get no respect. Right? Do me a favor, Rebbe. We're going to this town. No one knows what you look like. Do me a favor, Rebbe. You know what? Let's change places. Give me your shtreimel and kapata. I'll give you my, remember that, my cap? Remember taxi drivers, what they were? And Rebbe, you'll sit up front in the wagon with your little taxi driver hat, and I'll sit in the back of the wagon with my kapata and my shtreimel. And for once, I'll get some respect in life. So the Rebbe says, okay. If it makes you happy, what would a Rebbe not do to make a Yid happy? So they change places, they change hats, you know, hats make the man. The Baal Shem Tov, wearing the cap of the taxi driver, sits in the front of the wagon, he's driving the horses. And the balagola, the ignorant taxi driver, is sitting in the back of the wagon with the kaput and the shreimel. And they pull up to the town, right? No pictures in those days. So everybody runs over. They assume that the guy sitting in the back of the wagon with the shreimel is what? Baal Shem Tov. And the guy sitting up front in the baseball cap is what? Balagola. So they say, oh, great Rebbe. They don't know they're speaking to the Balagola. Rebbe, we love that you came. We have a very difficult shaila in Bosa B'cholov. And no Rebbe in our town can answer the shaila. Oh, great Baal Shem Tov. We give you the shaila, please paskin for us. It stumped our rabbis. This guy doesn't know an aleph from a beis. A balagol in Europe, he never went to Yeshiva. So he is what? Panicking. They give him the whole shaila, you know. And what's he going to say? He's the Baal Shem Tov. What? So he's stinking. He says, you know what? This shaila is so simple, even my balagola can answer it. Ask him. He wasn't as stupid as people thought he was. It's a Yiddish cup. Such a simple shaila, guys. Ask, even my balagola can paskin that shaila. So they asked the balagola. And the Rebbe, of course, didn't give it away because the Rebbe is not going to embarrass no Yid. But this is the message of Noso Yisroish B'nei Gershom. Even the Gershonites were balagola. Gam Heim, they too deserve to be Noso, deserve to be what? Elevated and given kavod. And the Baal Shem Tov actually followed this. Now, the Parsha of Nazir. Is the Nazir a saint or is he a sinner? Let's take a look. Why is the Parsha of Nazir written next door to the Parsha of a Sota? Rashi brings the Gemara in Masechta Nazir, Masechta Sota. Lama nismacho Parshas Nazir la Parshas Sota. When you have two Parshas in the Torah that are what? Next door, there has to be a Kesha. Why is the Parsha of Nazir written next door to what? Parsha of the Sota. Baruch atu Adonai, Eloheinu melech ha'olam, shehakol nihyeh bedvaroi. Thank you, Ariella. Thank you for the water. Ariella, thank you for the water. It's wet. You have two Parshas in the Torah, next door is a Kesha. So Rashi quotes the Gemara. Shekola roya soita bilkukula, anyone who sees a sota in her degradation, yaza atzo min ayayin, should separate himself from wine, she may be the day niuf. Wine leads to immorality. So you see a sota in her degradation, you should become a nazir. Because wine leads a person to immorality. Wine leads to immorality. What about Kiddush? What about Havdalah? What about Brit Milah? What about Sheva Brochet Chatun? Every religious occasion in Judaism revolves around what? Wine. Right? Every ceremony of Yahadut is Yayin, Yayin. So what is Rashi saying? You see a sota and her degradation, it's a simon, the person should separate himself from wine. Wine leads to immorality. What about Kiddush and Havdalah? Seems to be over here, what, a steer over here. To answer this question, we have to what? Ask another question. The Torah says, a nazir kadoshu. A nazir is kadosh. He's holy. And the next pasuk says, he has to bring a chatat. He has to bring a sin offering, ashechota ala nefesh. Because he sinned against his soul. The Pasuk before says, you're a Kadosh. And the next Pasuk said, what kind of Kadosh? You're a sinner. You sinned against your soul. Why'd you sin against the soul? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Tractate Tainit. Why does a Nazir have to bring a sin offering? What sin did he commit? Shetzir atzmo min ayayin. He separated himself from what? Man, oh man, a shevitz. What a wine. God gave us delicious wine to drink. God gave us delicious grapes to enjoy. And this guy willingly deprived himself of what? Of God's delicious fruit of the vine. And for that, he's a sinner. And therefore, he owes what? A chatas. But wait a minute. You just called him a kadosh. Kadosh means holy. No, but the word kadosh means kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. So if he's kadosh for separating himself from wine, and he should do it, he saw the sota and her degradation, and he's supposed to separate from wine. That's what the Talmud says. So why are you calling him a chote? He sinned against his soul. The Gemara in Taina says because he deprived himself of what? Of wine and grapes. The Talmud Yishalmi Masechta Kedushin says that La'asid Lavai Acha Meya Be'esrim, when a person dies, he's going to have to give a din v'cheshbon for all the delicious food that was available to him and he refused to eat it. Strange Yishalmi in Kedushin. God will say, I gave you such delicious food to enjoy. Why did you deprive yourself of what? My wonderful, delicious food that's mutar to eat. A Jew is supposed to indulge the world, enjoy the world, sanctify the mundane, and enjoy God's beautiful world. So this Nazir is a sinner because he deprived himself of wine and grapes. So why are you calling him a Kadosh? Is he a saint or is he a sinner? Or is he a holy sinner? So to answer this question, we have to ask another one. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says that a person that separates himself from wine is kadosh, like the Kohen Gadol. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim says that. You separate yourself from wine like the Nazir, you have the Kedusha of Kohen Gadol. In fact, a Nazir has the same thing like a Kohen Gadol. A Nazir cannot even go to the funeral of his own father and mother. You know that. A Nazir has the Kiddusha of a Kohen Gadol. What? A Nazir has three restrictions. He cannot eat grapes or grape products. Can a Nazir enjoy J&B? Jewish booze. Yes. A Nazir can drink, remember Ballantine beer? My beer, a Rheingold. A Nazir can drink beer, and a Nazir can drink Jewish booze. The Isser is only Yayin. We'll see in a minute why. The Isser says the Gemara is only grape products. He cannot eat the grape or anything that comes from the grape. But J&B is okay. So that's one Isser. The second Isser is he cannot cut the hair on his head. He can shave his beard, but he cannot what? Cut his hair on his head. And the third issue is he cannot come in contact with any dead human, not even his own father and mother, just like the Kohen Gadol. The only exception is what? Meis mitzvah. A Kohen Gadol and a Nazir have the same din as far as being tamei to a meis. They cannot even go into their own parents' funeral, but they're obligated to come in contact with a meis mitzvah. You know what a meis mitzvah is, right? A Jew that dies and there's no other Jews around to bury him. And he's the only Jew there. So even the Kohen Gadol Nazir has to bury him. Kavod Hames. If there's no Jews around to bury this guy, even there's 1,000 Gentiles, the Nazir Kohen Gadol must bury this Jew. Kavod Hames. Because it's anguish for the neshama to be buried by non-Jews. So we see that, and the Rambam quotes in Mor Nevuchim, that a Nazir has the same Kedusha like a Kohen Gadol. And yet the Rambam says in Hilchas Deus that a Nazir is a Chote. Rambam, make up your mind. In Mor Nevuchim you call a Nazir a Kodesh, like the Torah says, Kodosh. And in Hilchas Deus the Rambam says that a Nazir is a Chote because he deprived himself of what? Of wine and grapes. So how do we answer this dilemma? Huh? How do we answer this dilemma? What do you mean? What does that mean? So to investigate, we have to go to the Gemara in Tainus, page 11. The Gemara, what? How do we reconcile this dilemma? And more important, what's the message for us in the year 2012? We don't have a Nazir today, do we? We do. If you're a Nazir, you're stuck. Because a Nazir, even though he says, the Stam Naziros is 30 days. But you need Karbono to get out of it. Even though your 30 days are up, in order to be freed from your vow, you have to bring Karbonot. Today, there are no Karbonot. So you're stuck. So he's a Nazir for life. He's a Nazir for life. Because even if you say you're for 30 days, when the 30 days are up, that's Stam Naziros of Shloshim Yom, in order to be released from your vow, you must bring Karbonot. Today there are no Karbonot. So therefore, you're stuck, right? Unless you make a Toras Nadarim. on Erev Yom Kippur. You make a Taurus Nedarim, right? You can do that. So how do we solve this dilemma? The dilemma is solved by one word in the Talmud. The Talmud in Tainis, page 11, says as follows. There the Talmud debates whether a person should fast or not. Some people would fast Monday and Thursday, right? The Talmud says, "Sheyoshev betanit nikra chote." Someone who sits and fasts, he's called a sinner. The key word is Yoshev. When is a Nazir called a sinner? If the Naziros did not make him a better person, if he did not progress spiritually, if he's Yoshev, a Jew cannot be a Yoshev, a Jew has to be a Mahalech. B'chosai Telechu. If you become a Nazir, and when the period is over, you're no different than before you came in, then you're a chota. All you did is go on a diet. You deprive yourself of grapes and wine. When is a Nazir a Kadosh? If the Naziros changed you, if you became a better person, a kinder person, better to your wife and kids and to your neighbors, able to control your anger, if you yourself became a better person because of the Nazirut, then for you, the Naziros is Kadosh. We'll talk. But if the Naziros didn't change you, you are the same person you were going in, coming out, then that person is a chote. Because what did you accomplish? Just going on a diet, not eating grapes and wine? If it didn't change you for the better, didn't make you a kinder, more giving, caring person, if you did not progress and grow spiritually, you're called a chote. So this lady's asking a good kashi. Even if the Nazir did grow, he still has to bring what? A korban chatas. Why? Because even if you grew, it's never enough. It's never enough. If you think you have arrived, you didn't arrive. Yes, even if you grew, you're called a kadosh, but paradoxically, you didn't grow enough. It's never enough. So even though you grew and you're called a kadosh, you still are obligated to what? To bring a chatas. Because it's once is not enough. A person always has to realize, no matter how much he grew, it's not enough. If a person thinks that he grew enough, then he didn't grow at all. If you don't think there's room for improvement, then what? You've got a major problem. So even though the Nazir grew, he still owes a chatas because it's never enough. And this is found in the next few weeks. We're going to read Parshas Chukas. There's an amazing Zohar in Parshas Chukas. We don't have a Paraduma today. It says, the Paraduma Asha'en bo mum Asha'loi ola leo o. The Paraduma is supposed to have no mum and no yoke had to go on it. So the Zohar says it's speaking about a person. Asha ein bo mum. If you think you're perfect, if you think you have no defect, that's a sign like Allah aleh ol. That's a sign that you don't have O Malchus Shemayim on you. You hear how the Zohar learns a pasuk in Bamidbar 19. A person that thinks ein bo mum, I'm perfect, I grew enough. It's a sign like Allah aleh oil. It's a sign that this person doesn't have what? The old Malchut Shemayim on him. So therefore, even though the Nazir did grow, and he's a Kadosh, he didn't grow as much as he could, because a person never realizes full potential until he dies. And therefore, the Nazir owes what? A Korban Chatos. So therefore, the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, who calls the Nazir a Kadosh, is speaking about a person that did progress spiritually, did grow. He's a Kadosh. In Hilchas Deyut, in the Rambam's legal code, most people just are just go through the motions. They're the same going in as going out of the Zirut. So if a person like that, the Rambam calls him a chote, as the Torah does. So you have this paradox. On the one hand, he's a kadosh. On the other hand, he's what? A chote. Now, if ever Rapam Zatzal would say that every person, no matter how great he is a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. Use that expression. And if you don't believe that, you don't know yourself. The Gemara in Sukkah says, Misha godol mechaveiro, yitsha godol hamenu. The greater a person is spiritually, the greater is his what? Is Mr. Hyde. Remember Mr. Hyde? You would think that a person grew spiritually, his Yetzihar is what? Down here, it's not true. The greater a person grows, the Yetzihara grows with him. Great people have great Yetzihara. It has to be like that. Because without the tension, without the challenge, we'd be like robots. The person grew so much spiritually and the Yetzihara remained behind, the person would be a robot. He wouldn't really have free will. So in order to exercise our free will, which makes us human, the Yetzihara has to grow when the person grows. The tests are different, but they're greater. In order that the human being should be able to exercise what? His free will. So when we grow spiritually, the Yetzer grows with us. So every person is a kadosh and a chote. It depends. It's a constant struggle between the forces of good and the forces of evil, and it doesn't get any easier. In fact, it gets harder. And that's exactly what makes us what? Human. It's an amazing Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah. Doctor, you have to hear this. Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says, when Mashiach comes, the Gemara says, the Rishoyim will cry and the Tzadikim will cry. That's what it says. Why will the Rishoyim cry? It'll be Miller time. Because then, right, the Messiah will settle up. The Rishoyim have good reason to cry. Oy, 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 what's in store for them? But why will the Tzaddikim cry? No, says the Marsha. Go ahead, go ahead. Beautiful, but say it better. Says the Marsha, when the Mashiach comes, God will eliminate the Yetzihara. So the tzaddikim will cry, says the Marsha, because what? No pain, no gain. What makes a person a great tzaddik? It's the wrestling with the Yetzer Hara. We shall overcome. They got everything from us. What makes a person great? It's the struggle with the Yetzer Hara, says the Marsha, the Gemara by the Zohar. Tzaddikim will cry because if there's no Yetzihara, no pain, no gain, we're stuck in neutral. Without the Yetzihara, there can be no spiritual growth. Remember that Pepsi commercial? The guy's pumping iron and he's schwitzing away there. And the Pepsi commercial, no pain, no gain. It's a Mishnah, the shortest Mishnah in Shas. Lefum Tzara Agra. According to the pain is the gain. Pepsi has to pay royalty to the Mishnah. In order to develop your muscles, you got to what? Work out. If that's true in the physical world, it's certainly true what? Spiritual world. So in order to develop our spiritual muscles, we have to struggle with the Yetzer Hara. And when the Mashiach comes, the struggle is over. No more spiritual growth. So the Tzaddikim will also what? Cry as well, because they'll be stuck in neutral. Yes. Chiyat HaMeisim, go ahead. Yeah, that's the Gemara in Ta'anit. You got to read my article on Shuas, dancing circle. I think it's called unity, not uniformity. Speak there about the dancing circle, what it means, right? Yes. So, on a deeper level. The Nazir abstains from wine because wine can lead to immorality, right? That's what the Gemara says, and Rashi quotes it in the Chumash. There are two ways to be metaken a chet. One way is to run away from the sin, to remove yourself from the temptation. There is another way, which is more difficult, to use the very object of the sin to raise it up and bring it home. The Zohar says, why do we use wine in every religious ceremony in Judaism? The Zohar says that the Eitz Hadas, what was the tree of knowledge? It was no apple. The Zohar says it was the grapevine. I heard it through the grapevine. I'm dating myself. The Zohar says that the Eitz Hadas was the grapevine. So, the granddaddy of all sin was caused by what? Grapevine. So therefore, the Zohar says we use wine in all religious ceremony. We take the object of the granddaddy of all sin and we bring it home. We make it, we elevate it to Kiddushah. That's very difficult to do. It's easier to run away from the temptation. So therefore, says the Zohar, since the first sin, I don't want to use the word original sin, was through the grapevine, we use wine in all religious ceremony because the tikkun has to come from the chet itself. To use the object of chet to raise it up, elevate it, and bring it to kedusha. To be mekadesh, the temptation. That's much more difficult. The nazir sees a woman in her immorality and he's tempted by it. So the easy thing is to run away from the temptation, is to what? Abstain from wine. Okay, you can't help yourself. You have to take an emergency pill, right? It's penicillin, but a person cannot live on penicillin. A nazir is an emergency what? Medicine, when the person feels that he cannot control his desires. But why did you reach that stage? Why were you not able to sanctify your desire, to elevate your desire, to take the wine instead of leading to immorality? Take the wine and finish a tractate, and you'll make what? A suda with yayin. Interesting. It says in the Shema, you should love Hashem b'chol levavcha. You should love Hashem what? With all your hearts. So Rashi said, it should have said b'chol libach. Hakmut says b'chol levavcha. You should love God with your hearts. A person only has one heart. Says Rashi, b'shnei yitzrecha. You have to love God with your good heart and with your evil heart as well. B'chol levavcha. B'shnei Yitzrecha. We have to sanctify and elevate the Yetzer Hara, deputize him and bring him home. You have a taiva for wine, instead of drinking wine in Kelly's bar, take the wine, finish a masechta, finish shas, and you'll have plenty of wine. Sudas mitzvah. Elevate your taiva. That's much harder to do. The nazir wasn't capable of that. So therefore, he's called a chote. Therefore, in Hebrew, it's very amazing. In Hebrew, the word for ra, ra means what? Evil. But the same word, Reya. It's the same word. There are no dots in a Torah scroll. Ra means evil. Reya, in biblical Hebrew, even today in classical Hebrew, Reya means what? Reya. Friend. Even today in biblical Hebrew, classical Hebrew. So how could the same word for evil be the same word for what? Rea, friend. Huh? It's the same word, Reishayin. Ra means evil, and Rea means friend. Give up? The tafkid of a Jew is to take the evil one and make him your friend. Ain't it good to know you got a friend? Pretty amazing, huh? Pay to come from China just to hear this. The tafkid of Judaism contained in one word, the same word in the Hebrew, ask any Ulpan teacher, the same root, there are no dots in the scroll. Ra means evil, Rea means friend. The tafkid of a Jew is to take the evil one, to take Mr. High, and to make him your friend. Easier said than done. But that's b'chol levavcha, Rashi and Chumash says, to take the Yetzer Hara and deputize him, elevate him, sanctify him. Easier said than done, right? But that's the tafkid of a Jew. Person can take his Yetzer Hara and elevate him, sanctify him. Person has a taiva for wine. Instead of being a wino in Kelly's bar, let him finish a lot of tractates. So he'll be making a lot of parties with wine. Sudas mitzvah, you have to have wine. Okay. But Yayin could be the symbol of immorality. Adam and Chava. The Ari HaKadosh says if they would have waited till Shabbos, they could have had the Eitz Hadas. They were impatient. They wouldn't have made Kiddush. The Eitz Hadas was the grapevine. When was Adam Chava created? When? Friday. Says the Ari HaKadosh. Friday? Afternoon. If they would have waited till Friday night, says the Ari HaKadosh, they would have been commanded to make Kiddush. But they chose what? Do it my way, not his way. So the very grapevine, which was a symbol of sin, said the Ari, if they would have waited till Friday night, Hashem would have said it's a mitzvah to drink that grapevine. But you have to have patience and discipline. You got to control your Yetzer Hara. Do it his way. Interesting. So, therefore what? Yayin. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yayin yisamach levav enosh. Yayin makes the heart rejoice. If it's used properly, if it's channeled, elevated, and brought to Kiddusha, it makes you happy. Otherwise, the person can become a bum. Right? Hang out in the disco and drink wine and leads to immorality. You make the call. What yayin is used for everything in life. It's Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. It's the tree of knowledge. Tov V'Ra. What does that mean? How could it be good or evil? What is knowledge? Is it good or is it evil? You make the call. It's Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra. The tree of knowledge can be Tov, can be Ra. It's up to you. Gotta choose. The internet. Internet can be what? Huh? The worst schmutz. But you can go to rabbisprecher.com. It's free. You can join rabbisprecher.com. It's free. So the Eitz Hadas, knowledge can be good or evil. It's up to us to choose how we use that knowledge, how we use wine. It's up to us. As my friend Elio always says, you create your own reality. What is the internet? What is anything in life? Is it toy vara? God says you have to choose. You have to choose. That's the tselem elohim. The ability to choose between good and evil. That's what makes us human. That's what makes us unique. Not even angels have that ability. That's what we share with God. That's the tselem elohim. We're always making choices, whether we know it or not. We have to choose how to use yayin or anything in life. And therefore, there's something very strange. In the Yom Kippur al-Chaits, you have a whole list al-Chait for this sin, al-Chait, al-Chait, al-Chait. There's one sin, al-Chait, shechaton al-fanecha, the Yetzahara. It makes sense? For the sin that I sinned against you, be Yetzahara. I don't understand. All sins on the list, 100 sins, they're all because of the Yetzahara. If it wasn't for the Yetzahara, I never would have sinned. So why do you single out al-Chait shechaton al-fanecha, be Yetzahara? And for the sin that I sinned against you with the Yetzahara, all sins on the list are only because of what? So why single out the Yetzahara? I gave you the answer. God says, I gave you the Yetzahara to what? To serve God. And instead, you use the Yetzahara for your own selfish reasons. Al-Chait shechaton al-fanecha be Yetzahara. Hashem, so I gave you the Yetzahara. Whatever impulse a person has can be channeled and elevated and sanctified, and instead you use the Yetzahara for your selfish motives. Anger is a terrible midah. Anger is terrible. But how come there's no mitzvah in the Torah not to become angry? Anger is terrible. It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash don't become angry. And yet we know it's a terrible sin. What's the answer? Anger is terrible if you use it for your own selfish reasons. The person becomes angry. He stepped on my covet. Who do you think he is? How dare he? That nobody. Me, me, me. If you're angry because of your ego, it's a terrible sin. But when you see a chil Hashem committed for covet shemayim, you're supposed to become angry. I gave you anger to defend God's good name. And instead, you don't care about God's good name being defiled. You become angry for your own petty silliness. He said this, she said that. I'll show him. For the sin that I sinned against you, God, with the Yetzahara. I didn't use the Yetzahara properly. I abused him. Instead of using the Yetzahara for your purpose, Hashem, I used him for my own selfish ego. So therefore you single that out, the Yetzahara. What? The far what? Al-Chait. Al-Chait. No, we're talking about the Al-Chait that you say Yom Kippur. You single, it's strange. You list all the sins from Aleph to Tav, and then you say, oh, by the way, for the sin that I sinned against you with the Yetzahara. Make any sense? All the other sins are because of the Yetzahara. No, there's a special sin. You didn't use the Yetzahara properly. You didn't sanctify him. You didn't elevate him. You didn't bring him home. And therefore, that's a sin too, by abusing the Yetzahara. It's amazing that the Torah repeats the same account 12 identical times. If you're listening to yesterday's reading, there's no extra words in the Torah. There's exactly 304,805 letters in the Torah scroll. You don't believe me, you can count. There isn't even one extra letter. So the Ramban is puzzled. Why does the Torah repeat the same account 12 identical times? Each Nasi brought the same identical gift. Say, this guy brought, and the other guys, how do you say, ditto? Ditto. You could have saved 5 pages in the Chumash. Every letter of the Torah is so holy of holy. Why was it necessary to repeat the same account of their gifts 12 identical times? Says the Ramban something amazing. To teach that each and every Jew is unique and special. Even though we're all doing the same acts, looks like they brought the same gifts, and they did. But each Jew who does a mitzvah, it's special and unique to God. No one can do the mitzvah my way. Exactly. So says the Ramban, to prove that even though all the Nasiim brought the same gifts, and each Nasi represents every member of his tribe, every Jew is special and unique to Hashem. Just like our fingerprints are special and unique, so our tafkid in life is special. And even though we're all studying the same page, and all putting on the same tefillin, to God it's special and unique. Each one of us is special and unique. And to prove that, it paid for the Torah to write the same account 12 identical times to teach that the way I do a mitzvah, no one else, not even Moshe Rabbeinu, can do it my way. All of us are unique and special to God. Another explanation, says the Ramban, not to slight anybody. If the Torah would have written only Nachshon's hall list and the other guys, Vayasu Kain Gamhein, the other guys would have said, what am I, chopped liver? How come Nachshon gets all of the lists and I get a ditto? Says the Ramban, not to slight another Jew, not to degrade another Jew. It paid for the Torah to write the same account 12 identical times, that no Nasi should say, how come this guy gets to list and I get a ditto? Pretty amazing. How the Torah values the feelings of each and every Jew. Judaism is sensitivity to the other. Not to slight or hurt another Jew, not to put him down, to be sensitive to the other Jew. That lesson is so important that it paid for the Torah, every word is Kodesh Kedoshim, to repeat the same account 12 identical times. That no Nasi should say, remember, Nasi represents every person of his tribe. No Jew should say, I'm not good enough to have my gifts mentioned. So to give kavod to chashiva to every Jew, it paid for the Torah to repeat this account, a message for us that before we say anything to anybody, we have to think long and hard if what we say is not going to what? Be mitzayer him to what? To be sensitive to another Jew, says the Ramban. That's also the lesson of this, of the Nesiim, the gifts being repeated 12 identical times. He says also that to teach that every Jew has a unique chelik in Torah. Every one of us has a unique chelik in Torah. And no one can have that chelik. Therefore, the Zohar says that every letter in the Torah represents a Jew. Every letter in the Torah represents a Jew. And the halacha is that if two letters are touching each other, Aaron, if two letters are touching each other, it's puzzle. Why is that? There has to be space between letters. What's the message? Every Jew has to have his own space. Right? You cannot dominate another Jew or put another Jew down. Every Jew is a letter in the Torah. And he has to have space around him to develop his personality. To contribute. No one can lean on him and dominate him. Otherwise, the entire Torah scroll is what? Puzzle. Pretty amazing, huh? Pretty amazing. Now, the end of the parsha says, when Moshe Rabbeinu came into the tent of meeting, he heard God's voice speaking to him. Says Rashi, I might think that God's voice was low. It says, at HaKol, the voice that God spoke to the Jews at Sinai. That same voice that God spoke to millions of Yidden at Sinai, that same voice spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu in the tent of meeting. And says Rashi, Ukub Shagia LaPetach, when God's voice reached the door of the Oel Moed, Nifsak. What does Nifsak mean? Stop, and did not go out of the tent. Unlike Har Sinai, when millions of Jews heard God's voice, and Rashi says the same voice that Moses heard where? In the Mishkan, yet that voice only remained in the tent. And when it reached the door of the Oel Moed, what's another word for Oel Moed? Mishkan? Nifsak. It did not go outside of the tent. What's Rashi's point? This took place 3,300 years ago. The Torah is forever. We need to know there was no good acoustics there. What's the message? God's all-powerful voice at Sinai, the same voice, was contained inside the tent. And when it reached the door, it did not what? Go out. No one else heard it. So what? The Torah is not a history book. The Torah is God's authorized manual for living in the year 2012. What do you think the message is of Rashi? Yes? It's my question that you ask?
I know the answer to your question.
So ask your question.
My question is,
maybe one question will answer the other.
If this is the voice that he was using now,
right?
What was the voice that he was using before?
When was before? At Har Sinai. Rashi said it's the same voice that spoke at Sinai.
Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem have been speaking since...
of the burning bush.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, so if he has been conversing with Hashem this whole time, and now we find out that Hashem is speaking to him with the same voice that he used at Sinai...
Right.
What was the voice that he was using before?
I don't know. But why is Rashi forced to tell me Hakol, the voice... This is the same voice that all the Jews heard at Sinai. But unlike Sinai, when all Jews heard it, this time when it reached the door of the Mishkan, it got cut off, and did not exit the tent. What's the message? So what? Yeah. Yes. But what is Rashi? Magia lepetach nifsak. And didn't go outside the tent. So I wanted to say, the message is, if you want to hear the voice of God, you have to go into the tent of Torah. You want to hear the message of God, you got to be inside the tent of Torah. Otherwise, you're not tuned into the frequency. So you have to go into the oil of the Torah. The Mishkan represents the oil of Torah. So Rashi is saying that if you're not in the tent of Torah, you don't hear his message. And you also have to enter the tent of Torah. Don't stay outside. Enter the tent of Torah as well. Be interested. Be tuned in. No. Only the Kohanim. Only the Kohanim and only Moshe. Right? But the message for us is that we need to be in the tent of Torah or to be attached to a Torah scholar in order to get the message or to hear the message. That's right. The Shekhinah went away. That's right.
But there was no change in prophecy policy, right, for Moshe Rabbeinu between what happened before the Mishkan and what happened after the Mishkan, right?
A
greater prophet just because they had the Mishkan.
The Ramban says that the Mishkan was a portable Har Sinai. Who said you can't take it with you? The other Jews couldn't hold that level. Remember, they got dizzy and they fell. We can't take it, they said. Moshe Rabbeinu held that level, ponim beponim, that the Mishkan was a portable Har Sinai. God says, take me along, right? So the same experience that Moses had at Sinai, he had at the Mishkan. The other Yidden, they didn't want it. They couldn't take it, right? They said, you speak with Hashem. God wanted to speak the whole Torah to the Yidden, not just the Ten Commandments. But they said they couldn't do it. They couldn't hold that level. Moshe continued to hold, but the Mishkan was a portable Har Sinai, and Rashi backs it up. The same voice that spoke at Sinai spoke in the Mishkan, yet the voice did not exit. Because the Kotzker Rebbe says, where is God? Where is God, Aaron? Where you let him in. God, the Jews shut him out. They couldn't take it. Moshe let him in, so he heard the voice. The other Jews said, you speak with God and give us the message. So God's voice is found where you let him in the tent of Torah. My wife, Tiona, gave another interpretation. She said, what's the message? The tent represents the husband and wife relationship. You know, throughout Tanakh, Ohel is the husband and wife relationship. She said, well, the message is, when a husband and wife have a discussion, or a lively discussion, sometimes, it has to remain in the tent. Don't let it go outside. The neighbors don't have to hear what your discussion, right? What you're talking about, right? Even if you have a lively discussion, make sure it remains where? In the tent and not Yoitze Chutz LaOhel. Okay? The Haftorah is something incredible. The Haftorah Bat Shimshon, right? And the Malach that foretells the birth of Shimshon to Manoach and his wife. And by the way, his wife was much greater than him, right? His wife was much greater than him. Mrs. Manoach. What do you mean she's not mentioned? Geveret Manoach. Why is she not mentioned? Why?
She doesn't have a name.
Of course she has a name.
The wife.
Huh? Mrs. Manoach.
But people get upset that,
you're asking a good question.
Huh?
You're asking a good question. How come her name is not mentioned? So to answer your question, I will what? We sing in the Eishes Chayil every Friday night. It's Mishlei 31. Vatokam ba'od laila. She gets up when what?
Everyone else is asleep.
What if she's an insomniac? What is Solomon singing about? Eishes Chayil me'imtza. Da 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 da. Vatokam ba'od laila. I won't give up my day job. Don't worry. She gets up when it's still night. What is Solomon praising her? So the Mephorshim say, buddy, that Eishes Chayil wants to remain in the background. She doesn't want to make a big deal about it. She's not an insomniac. But night symbolizes what?
Hiddenness.
The Eishes Chayil doesn't want covet. She likes to work behind the scenes. Doesn't want to be in the forefront. So therefore, now Tanakh, women are not named, not because they're less important. They're more important. Throughout Tanakh, who names the babies? The women. Or Chaim says, because a name is a subconscious Ruach HaKodesh, and women are more qualified to name that too, name that child, because a person's tafkid in life is contained in what? In his name. And Or Chaim says that women are more in touch with their neshama. They're more qualified to look at this baby and identify the tafkid of the neshama, since they're more in touch with their neshama. And the tafkid of the neshama is contained in what? In the name. And therefore, he says, women name the child throughout Tanakh. And yet, women have this modesty. Women were created from where? Why not from Adam's nose? Why not from Adam's pinky? You ever wonder? Why were women created from Adam's rib? I think it's the name of a restaurant, Adam's Rib, no? Adam's Rib, what? Adam's Rib. So the Mephorshim say, why from an internal organ? Why not from a pinky? Because women have a tendency to what?
Get under your skin.
To get, I've got you under my skin. Women are modest. They have a tendency to remain hidden because they were created from a hidden organ. And therefore, women have a bina yetera. Gemara Nida 45. Women have a much deeper understanding about spiritual matters than men. I'll prove it to you. Abraham was fooled by Yishmael. Yitzchak was fooled by whom? Was Rivka fooled? Was Sarah fooled? Women can see right through because they were created from an internal organ. So they can see right through the deception. Abraham was fooled by Ishmael. Yitzchak was deceived by whom? But women have a bina yetera. They can see right through inside of you because they were created from an inside organ. So Mrs. Manoach was greater than her husband. And it's something very interesting over here. The Malach comes to her, not to him. Not once. Twice to her. And he doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. And interesting that how does Manoach know that he's a Malach? It says that Manoach made a korban to Hashem and the Malach jumped into the flames and he went up. Does it say Manoach knew he was a Malach then? Read the text. When the flame went up from the Mizbeach, Bayal Malach Hashem Balava Mizbeach. The angel of God jumped into the flame, and he what? They saw him going up in the flame. And it says to Manoach, the Ishtoi, Royim, Mayiplopeh. Manoach and his wife saw, and they fell on their faces, and they davened to Hashem. But it doesn't say that Manoach knew he's a Malach then. When did he know? V'lo yosaf od Malach Hashem. The Malach Hashem didn't come back to Manoach. Oz yoda Manoach. Only then did Manoach know ki Malach Hashem hu. She knew right away from the get-go that what? That he's a Malach. Manoach was not convinced, not even when what? When he jumped into the flame. It says when the Malach didn't come back, then Manoach realized that what? He's a Malach. Why? Want to know why? I'll tell you why. Really want to know? Okay. When he jumped into the flame, that's no proof he's a Malach. Maybe he's Harry Houdini. Houdini did that. You know when he knew he was a Malach? When he didn't come back to get a check. I promised you a baby. The baby was born. He didn't come back for a handout. He can't be human. Look at the text. A human being would come back. Remember I promised you last year? No. Only when the Malach didn't come back, only then did Manoach know ki Malach Hashem hu, because a human being would come back to get his palm greased. Is that the right word? Jumping into the flame, that could be a trick. Remember Houdini? He was Jewish, by the way. He exposed all the mediums, you know that. Houdini. He went to all these seances and he showed it's all a fake. Harry Houdini. His father was a rabbi, Hungarian rabbi. Yeah. So this is the message of Shimshon was a Nazir. Got to be a deeper connection. Just because the Parsha speaks about a Nazir and Shimshon's a Nazir, that's why the rabbis put this up Torah. They got to be deeper level of Yaakov. I'll give you a deeper level. The Pasha speaks about a sota, an immoral woman. Mrs. Manoach was the complete opposite. Eze tzadekah she was. The complete opposite of what? Of a sota. The complete opposite of a sota. It's amazing that the sota, Rashi says, why is she a sota? The Pasha of giving Matnas Kahuna is next door to the Sota. What's the connection? Give your Matnas Kahuna, and then it says the Pasha of the Sota. Says Rashi, because if you stiff the Kohen, then by God you'll need the Kohen. You'll have to bring your runaround Sue to the Kohen. Remember runaround Sue? Yeah, what's going on over here, guys? I'm dating myself. Give the Kohen what's due to him. Because if you don't, you're going to need the Kohen. You'll have to bring your tzatzkala to the Kohen with the Sota Chas V'Sholom. What's the connection? Mida keneged mida? What's the connection? If you hold back the Matas Kohuna, you're going to need him. Nebuch, bring your Sota to her. So give your Matas Kohuna. And this way you'll make sure that you're right, that you have Shalom Bayis. Buddy, what's the connection? So my Rebbe said as follows. You got to hear this. He came just to hear this. The Gemara says that if you stiff the Kohen, you'll become poor. If you stiff the Kohen, Mida keneged Mida, you deprive the Kohen of what rightfully his, God will deprive you, Chas V'Sholom, of your what? Income. So if you stiff the Kohen, you will become poor. So my Rebbe explained as follows. Why does a woman cheat on her husband for? Eze kenegdoi. It's the husband's fault. If he's selfish to the Kohen, he'll be selfish to his wife. You're a selfish person, you're selfish at home too. You're selfish to the Kohen, you'll be selfish to the wife. You'll cause her to look for love in all the wrong places. More than that, the Gemara says that if you stiff the Kohen, you'll become poor. All of a sudden, the wife sees that the husband is failing in his business. What happened to all his money? Maybe he has a mistress on the side. That's why all his money is going where? He used to give me a nice allowance, and now he's cutting me back. Because he's not giving to the Kohen. Hashem is making him poor. But she thinks perhaps he's supporting what? A mistress. So she says, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If he has a mistress, then perhaps I should get a mister. Don't you get it? Mida keneged mida. He's selfish. He tries to take away what belongs to the Kohen. It's not his. Hashem gave him the extra wealth because he has to give the Kohen 24 priestly gifts. You're depriving the Kohen of his income. God will deprive you of your income. And Mimela, you'll cut back on your wife's allowance. She'll suspect, where's the money going? Maybe he has a love nest somewhere. So two can play the game. So the answer is what? Give your kohuna, give your tzedakah, treat your wife nice, and everything will be A-OK. Thank you very much.